You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Now to Minding Michigan as we focus on mental health questions in our state. A terrible personal tragedy can open your eyes to things that, up till then, had been out of sight, out of mind. For Abby Dart, it was her husband's suicide in 2004. That opened her eyes to the stigma that we've built up around mental health problems. Abby believes that stigma killed her husband, Steve. And she feels we can and must tear down that mental health stigma. Abby Dart, it's good to have you with us.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
You had a very clear message in your recent Detroit News editorial, and that is that we need one unified system that looks at public health and mental health. How did we get to where we are with two separate systems?
You know, I think what had happened was many, many years ago, I call it sort of the dark ages, people were very frightened of anything dealing with the brain and mental health and mental illness. And my sense is that when we established many years ago a separate code, we had hospitals, people were chained to their beds, and it was never considered public health. It was the brain, and it was scary. And then you had health issues of the body, and they were separate. And I believe that's how it got started.
And then how do you think that built up that stigma that is something that keeps so many people from seeking the help they need?
I think part of it is fear. People don't understand that any illness of the brain today is treatable. Early intervention is key. And it's not something people want to talk about. I mean, you might talk about the fact that you have diabetes.
Or
you
might have a heart attack.
Or cancer. I think it's only slightly better. What's interesting is I'm originally from California. And, you know, so there's sort of a joke in California. Everybody's talking about what therapists they have. And it's common there. There's not the stigma. But when I moved to the Midwest, I think people have a very different reaction. And we need to tear down that wall.
And when you think of the difficulty that we as a society have seeing mental health issues as the same as physical problems, what kinds of problems has that led to in your view?
Oh, many. For example, in my husband's case, when I say to people, I believe the stigma killed him and not the disease. And the reason is he was successful Harvard-educated attorney. And even with all that education, he was reluctant to seek treatment early. He thought maybe a colleague or his employer might find out about it. And this happens to many people, whether you went to Harvard or, you know, whatever your background is, you are ashamed. You're embarrassed. I'll give you another example. I was in the car the other day and I heard an advertisement for online talk therapy. And what the voiceover said was, here's a way to seek therapy without the embarrassment of going to a therapist and in complete privacy. This is 2017. So this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. People are not seeking treatment early enough, and they're not getting the support they need, and they're not even talking to their friends and family who could help them get that support.
When your husband was dealing with whatever was happening in his mind, and as you say, there was a brain illness, but it was the stigma that killed him, did he look for help? How long did it go? What was going on?
Well, he I would say it started, let's say, in January of that year, and he was having some difficulties with depression, with sleeping. I really couldn't get him to see a doctor for a few months, and by then it was just a general practitioner. There was still this stigma is, you know, oh, I don't really want to see a psychiatrist. I can handle this. People think they can handle it. Well, you wouldn't think you could handle heart disease or high blood pressure. So it took a while, and at the end, he was hospitalized. And this is another issue, too. Under Michigan law and the way we handle people who go in voluntarily and want to leave voluntarily, if you're in a suicidal state and you're hospitalized but you aren't committed, you can walk out. You can leave. You would never do that for somebody that was hospitalized with a heart attack. Would they even think? Would their family members say, oh, you can just leave now and go home? So that's a whole other piece of the legal puzzle that needs to be dealt with.
And I know that you've been in touch. You reach out. You've been very active reaching out to policymakers and legislators.
Right.
What's the ask? What are you asking?
Well, initially, I thought it would be an easy ask. I thought if we could just put the mental health code, combine it with the public health code in Michigan, as they do federally. If you go to the Health and Human Services Department, if you look at the law, they have substance abuse and mental health under health. and Human Services. So I thought, well, we won't have to change any laws. Everybody gets scared, nervous about that. But we could make a big public statement in Michigan saying, we understand that diseases of the brain are health, and let's not separate them anymore. And I met with a legislator, and there was some research done. And apparently, in order to do that, you have to do a couple of things. First, you have to open up both codes, and then you might get some amendments that wouldn't be good. And the other issue was apparently it might have been, you know, 20,000 bills, because every time you refer to something, you have to deal with that in another bill. It didn't look feasible. That doesn't mean I'm not going to still try and figure out other ways we can deal with the stigma. But we need to.
What was – if you look back – to those months before your husband's suicide, what did you miss or what did you learn from that you could share with families now? What lessons can you share?
I think that if you have a family member that you're worried about, particularly if you're on your own, perhaps you're isolated, you don't have family nearby, it's you and your child or you and your spouse, you really have to encourage other family members to help you. If that means traveling across the country to be with you, don't take no for an answer. I don't put any blame at all on people around me at the time, because it's a very difficult situation. I had 5 children at the time. You know, you're trying to struggle with it all. But I would say pull in your family, even if they're uncomfortable with it. You know, beg them for help.
And it can happen at home, it can happen in neighborhoods, it can happen in schools. So it's something that can happen on a very granular level, can it?
Well, what I also want to say is, and I know there is a lot of support for this by organizations, I think schools are a really good place to capture early onset illnesses that deal with the brain. And these children spend so much time in school. Here's another thing. We have, over the years, required students to have hearing exams and eye exams, sports physicals. My sense is that issues related to mental health and the brain are equally significant. And since suicide is the second leading cause of death for children between the ages of 10 and 24, we have an epidemic in this country. And perhaps parents are uncomfortable with that, but I'm sure they'd much rather see early intervention than to find that their child has died by suicide.
What's at stake if we don't wrap our arms around this problem that you described?
Well, what's at stake is we're going to see thousands of more death by suicide. We're going to see hundreds of people in Michigan, in our big cities in Detroit, end up in the legal system, because as opposed to being in the public health system, because untreated mental health issues often lead people to end up homeless or engage in criminal activity because they could have been treated and they're not. So they end up in the courts and our legal system instead of in our public health care system. And also, I'm very worried about the epidemic of suicide among our teenagers and our young people. And we really need to have opportunities for early intervention and talk about it.
Abby Dart, it was great to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
Great to talk with you. Thank you.